Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Hey, Saints and Aints.
What up with y'all?
So you might notice that we are in a different space, okay? It's because
okay.
The other venue by which we recorded was our rental property. We'll get into rental property shortly. But we were using it as an Airbnb. We weren't making no money. And so now we're renting it out to a tenant. And so we took all the furniture from that space and put it in our house. And so I just love that I was able to, you know, reuse some things. But that has nothing to do with what I'm finna ask you.
Well, kind of. You ready? In the vein of like real estate, you know.
But I got to ask you a random question.
What's up?
Okay. So remember that time you said you was on the plane and you met this lady? And she got real like hip hop on you.
Oh, I thought we was gonna say that for story time with Preston Perry.
We're not having a story time with Preston Perry.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, she did.
Okay, you wanna tell
the story? Yeah, I got on the plane and she was sitting in my seat and then I said, ma'am, you know, I think you in my seat. She said, my bad. But Wait, it gets worse. And so, you know, I be in first class a lot because I'm diamond or whatever. And
okay.
So, you know, a little flex. Yeah. And then so my friend Joseph Solomon got in and he came and was like, what's up, boy? And then, you know, so she said, she looked at him and then she looked at me and she saw we knew each other. And so, mind you, Joe's like 6'8". And so she looked at Joe. She looked up at Joe. She said, what's up, shawty?
That's so obnoxious.
Joe said, huh?
But then he said, white people got to be stopped.
No, she said, what's up, shawty? He said, what?
Again,
it was just so awkward because she wasn't even, she was like a soccer mom. Like, you can, like, it's like, this is so unnatural. And I don't know if you're trying to connect with us or something like that. But don't ever say what's up, shawty.
So that ain't got nothing to do with today's conversation.
It never does.
We was talking about it the other day, and I was like, we have to bring this up because it's so obnoxious and ridiculous. But joining us today, we have Erica Brown.
Erica Brown, the homie.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
So with the Perrys is going on tour.
Straight is.
Don't know if you knew that already.
Yep.
I think we're doing 14 cities.
Oh yeah, you wanted me to say something. We're doing 14 cities.
And he's going to talk about apologetics.
And what you going to talk about?
I'm going to preach some Bible. And then we're going to have a live conversation with the saints about something that you pick. We're going to give y'all the opportunity to pick the conversation that we actually end up having.
And it's going to be God glorifying. It's going to be uplifting to the body of Christ. But mm-hmm. We're going to have fun.
I think so.
We're going to have a lot of fun. A lot of y'all have been trying to get the Bold Apparel merch, and I'm bringing all the merch on tour.
Oh,
like all of it.
Beautiful.
And,
you know,
and we're also coming on tour with our books, with my new book, all of Jackie, 1,900 books.
It's only four.
It's a lot. And so, man, be on the lookout, man.
All right, so show notes, www.withtheperrys.com/tour.
Oh,
What's the name of your businesses? I feel like I'm supposed to say Erica Brown of something. Erica Brown and Associates.
She got like nine businesses.
We changed the name. My name of my team used to be Erica Brown Associates. I did not want to be the face of it. So now it's Strive.
Okay.
But let's say owning it and living it.
Okay. That's business one. What's the other one?
Okay. So then we have Strive.
Uh-huh.
Then we have Boast.
Okay.
Which is the brokerage.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we have other businesses things that don't have names that are just, you know.
Well, Integrity affiliates. Solutions is under your, you
yes,
know what I'm saying?
Yes, Integrity Solutions. We have affiliates.
Right. That's affiliates? So dope.
Affiliates.
You know you made it when you got affiliates.
Oh, my it's gosh. Like, well, she got options.
Oh, these, my gosh. These are my affiliates.
She ain't got one LLC. She got S Corps and C Corps. It's like
how can we be like you?
Wow.
So we wanted to bring Erica into our home to talk through just the concept of like home ownership, real estate investment, and even generational wealth.
Yes.
Because it's a conversation that all three of us are constantly having all the time. Yeah. And it's like, why not like have it out loud?
No, like seriously, like it's Erica like is our friend. We vacation with her. We're about to go on a vacation with her soon. And we talk about these things all the time. And I think they're beneficial conversations I feel like we need to have, especially in the body of Christ. Because we're like, well, I'm going to be a martyr. I'm going to king and be this and be that. It's cool. But generational wealth is important as well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, before we begin, I already feel in my shondo that there are people like, I'm finna turn this off because y'all not talking about
Jesus. I rebuke
Jesus
you in
Christ
the name of Jesus.
In the flesh. All right?
For being closed minded.
To talk even about the concept of generational wealth or even investing can, to some ears, sound like y'all just greedy and y'all just want money. So why is, I guess, generational wealth and growing and having businesses and doing all that you do, like, why?
Wow. Yeah, that's a great question. So for me, I look at the opportunity to be able to build generational wealth as a tool just like you can have someone who's a contractor and they have they're really good at contracting and building things. That's their tool to serve their family and to serve the kingdom. So I look at real estate and the ability to be able to build wealth in real estate as a tool in that way too.
Yeah, that's dope. That's
I forgot to tell people what you do. We talked about her businesses, but we ain't say what they was.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, sorry. What you do, Erica?
So I do a lot of things.
Okay. Give us five.
Five?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I am a real estate investor.
Uh-huh.
I teach people how to invest, purpose-driven, like-minded people, a lot of believers, how to invest. I homeschool my kids. Yeah. Three big boys.
Mm-hmm.
I am a co-founder of a brokerage, a purpose-driven brokerage. I help run a landscaping company. I think that's five.
Okay, give it six. Give it seven. Is
all right,
completion.
One more.
For the spiritual people.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm a team lead of a real estate group. And I'm a, I mean, of course, I'm a wife. Mm-hmm. That's
there we go. She rounded it out.
Her husband is actually one of my closest friends.
What's his name?
Yeah, they're like BFFs.
His name's Lawrence.
Oh, not you said his real name.
LB.
Yeah, his name's LB, but you know, his real name Lawrence. I'm going to give some dignity and respect to the man.
Yes. Yes.
So in response to what she just said, like what is the value of wealth building is it even the same as greed?
Yeah, I think about generational wealth, and I think it's so important because I think a lot of times, one, let me be clear, I don't think that God is calling everybody to be generational wealthy, right? I think we all have different calls or whatever, but I love being connected and friends with believers who don't love money more than they love people, but still have a firm foundation of what they feel like God has called them to do. And so when I'll go in Erica and Lawrence's home, you know what I'm saying, I see them raising their children up not to be greedy, but to be good stewards, right, of their money. Because I think that's the main thing about generational wealth. Proverbs talks about generational wealth in the sense of that a righteous man will pass down an inheritance to his children, but an unrighteous man will his riches will be gone to the unrighteous or whatever. And really, what that passage is talking about is stewardship. Mm. It's righteous people who have accumulated wealth, not because they're just chasing money, mm-hmm. but they're stewarding what God has given them well, mm-hmm. and that they're able to pass it down to their loved ones and their loved ones, and they can have, you know, seasons of generational wealth. Yeah. And so I think it's important for us to know that whatever God gives us, we could be generational wealthy if our heart is right. And if we're storing our money right for the kingdom of God, yeah. right? And then that's automatically going to trickle down to our children yeah. and our children's mm-hmm. children. And so I see that. I go in their house. I go in Erica and LB's house. And I see them, you know, I see Lawrence, you know, giving their kids, you know, life lessons. But I also see them talking about real estate. I mean, her middle son, like, he likes to talk to me about, like, the stocks that he's investing in. How old is
He's 12.
12.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I just bought Apple. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
this is important. You know right. what I'm saying? And so I just think that it's great for us to teach our kids to steward the gifts. And when yeah. I see her, when I see Eric and LB doing what they're doing, it's a gift, and they're stewarding it right.
I think some of this is like, it's kind of like we have been given a theology of money that was primarily all centered around prosperity gospel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we swung to the other pendulum where we don't actually have a solid understanding or theology of money, where we just see money as a resource mm-hmm. useful to the world and also the kingdom of God. Because you got the dude who used his resources to bury Jesus. What's his
right.
name?
Joseph of Arimathea.
Like, he was a wealthy man. Yeah. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, his wealth was able to, like, be useful for giving Jesus a place to, like,
yeah.
be right. at
yeah.
for 3 days.
And I want to just add, Joseph of Arimathea, you know, the gospel only talks about him one time, but he's in all four accounts of the gospel. But we see, like, Jesus wouldn't have had a proper burial if this rich man didn't come to Pontius Pilate and say, I want the body of Jesus so I can bury him in this rich tomb. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so we see that's a prime example of God using a man with wealth mm-hmm. for the glory of right. him.
And that was actually a part of the motivation for us to decide to begin investing and really, you know, build wealth. Like, it's crazy because before, you know, I even had, before we even had like a real estate investment or anything like that, I remember consciously having like this just, you know, this moment with God, really like, okay, you know, is this like, Lord, you know, if you bring wealth to my family, I don't want to be greedy. I want to be able to steward it well. Like, it's so crazy because it wasn't like I knew there was like opportunity around the corner. I just remember having like a conscious, very like real conversation. And when I thought, and what God brought me back to was just thinking about all the people that have been in the position to have wealth that have helped us over the years.
Yes.
Like, there was a time when we moved from Dallas to Atlanta, and me and the kids came first and my husband came later. We were just starting out. We were a brand new, you know, young family, didn't have anything mm-hmm. or any money. And we bought a car. We used all of our savings to buy this car. Mm-hmm. And it turns out the car was a lemon.
Okay.
It was bad. It didn't even like run. Mm-hmm. So we spent our last bit on this car. Mm-hmm. So, and my husband had to get back and forth to work. He was still in Texas. And I remember one of our good friends, they just had a car
mm-hmm.
That they were able to let him borrow. It was like this little two-seater sports car, mm-hmm. but, and he's 6'4", you know, 200 plus pounds, mm-hmm. but they were able to allow him to borrow that car so he can get to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not many of us who don't have like wealth have a car that you could just let somebody use,
yeah.
you know? And so in that moment really helped him to be able to have the space to not be in survival mode, to actually take care of his spiritual mental health during that time where we were apart, because he was getting ready to move here. So yeah. it's just so many examples that we've been able to be the benefit of that.
Yeah, I think that's dope. And I think that's a huge, you know, a blessing that you had, mostly like believers helping you mm-hmm. to help you be in a position that you're in. Because what I see with you is you teaching people, mostly believers with your cohorts, you mm-hmm. know, how to, you know, make a living for themselves. And so right. like, what if Christians who was financially able to help you didn't right. help you, and now you in a position, and I think that you should talk about your cohorts before this whole thing is over
right.
so people can know about it. But that's dope, you know yeah. what I'm saying?
Because it really is on some, like, you know, you got to be honest with your own heart you know, yeah. about you, because what money can do is offer like a false sense of comfort and security. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's usually why we all want to be wealthy, is because we don't want to trust. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. like we don't mm-hmm. want to have to be mm-hmm. put in a position where Oof. We got to pray Oof. And
he
say,
coming
hey,
in the Hyundai.
Like, mm-hmm. like we don't want daily bread. We want bread that lasts.
Yeah. And we talk it's, about, we've talked about the illusion of success.
What we say?
You don't remember?
Uh-uh.
I was like, "Ooh, Jackie, there's an illusion."
Go ahead, tell me about it. What we say
when you become the expert at something and you get really good at it, mm-hmm. and you get so good to where you can like consistently rely on your gut, and you think that A plus B equals C because A plus B equals C mm-hmm. before, mm-hmm. and so that's you know over time, if you're not careful, then you do you know go over to that side where you begin trusting yourself. But the Lord is faithful.
Hello, mm,
come on now.
And helping to remind you, hold up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't control this anyways. Yeah. It's mine.
That's really good.
And
that's
so
really
I only brung that up to say, you know, by pursuing by investing, by owning homes, by mm-hmm. doing all of that stuff. Like, even if it's like, even just Americans, even the way we define wealth hmm. also needs to be interrogated.
Yeah.
But I feel like us just seeing, no, this is a resource that the Lord wants me to use to serve people,
yeah,
period. Yeah. And generosity and all the things is a part of that. Yeah. Now that we got all that out the way,
what's next?
Home ownership.
Yes, that's really, really big.
One thing like you will hear people say is like, why should I buy a house if when I buy a house, I gotta like pay for the landscaping, I gotta pay for the plumbing, and if the roof break, I gotta pray for the, like, y'all make it seem like it's like all good and well, but it actually takes more work.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the whole, like, why would I buy a house then?
Right. You will still buy a house because it is a long-term investment. It's almost like a built-in savings account that, yes, you have to take care of, and there's various ways that can help you take care of it, whether it's like home warranties and things like that, but house hacking, having people, you know, renting out rooms and things like that, where you can, you know, be able to do it. But over time, your property, if you buy it for say $200,000 today, in 10 years that property may be worth $400,000. Mm-hmm. So it becomes like a built-in savings account that it at some point you'll be able to tap into to provide options mm-hmm. for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I think it's beautiful. One of the reasons why I'm passionate about teaching people is because I feel like I want to be able to help people free up their time, stop trading time for money mm. so that they can actually do the things that God is calling them to do. Mm. A lot of us have burdens and we live with those deep burdens, but because we are so caught up in the rat race of the 9-to-5 and just the routine robotic life that sometimes we have to live,
yeah.
that we don't have the freedom to actually, you know, nurture that burden that God has given us. Mm. And so I've been able to actually take advantage of real estate as a tool to help me get that freedom so that we can be freed up to do the things that God is calling us to do. Whatever, right. It looks so different for everyone, but
yeah. That's good. Yeah. I got a question.
Yeah.
Like for the people who might be listening who are not homeowners, because yeah. I know before we became homeowners, we had a lot of questions of how do we even pursue this?
Yes.
So like, what do you think are like that's the first scary. Main three steps of somebody who's thinking about being a homeowner and want to own a home? What should they think about first?
So first step is to tell a friend, like talk to someone who has bought a home before mm. and ask them about like their process and their experience. What because a lot of people think that it's like so difficult mm. and once you do it, you're like, oh, I guess it really wasn't that bad. Mm. So really talk yeah. to someone who's done it. And then two, take a home buyer's education workshop.
We did that.
Yeah. And yeah, I remember doing that too. Because even though I grew up in a home that we owned, the education didn't get passed down to me. Like my parents had great credit. I didn't have good credit. I was like, what happened? You know?
Right, yeah.
So taking a home buyer's education class, which are generally free, and they're like, you could do them online, or you can even do it at one of our website, or you can go to your local real estate company and they'll have a home buyer's education workshop. And that's, I think those two things are like the best start to pique your interest and figure out what your next steps are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the main things when I got married, I just always had bad credit.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And Jackie was like, "Ah, we're gonna get your credit up." That was like one of her main goals in life.
No, this is by bad, we mean he didn't have a score.
Hey, oh, man, okay. You gotta put me out there like that.
I mean, we need to be clear.
Be specific.
Yeah, because it's like bad is like a number. You didn't have a number. And so it was like, I don't even know how to deal with experience saying inconclusive and FICO not having nothing. Like, it's like, what
do you know? I had bad.
You okay? But what you got now?
I'm in the 700s.
You're in the 700s.
That's great.
Hey, look at
I love how you give her that credit too. That's awesome.
It's pun intended.
Yeah.
I guess my question is, and this, you don't have to stay on this long, but should people allow like their credit score, their credit number to like really burden them when it comes to becoming homeowners?
That's because Dave Ramsey, I feel like he's like, credit scores don't be mattering. Yeah. I use bad grammar on
right purpose. No. I mean, it does matter if you don't have cash, you know, if you don't have like someone in your family that can just buy you a house for cash, then right. Credit does matter.
Right.
And statistically, when you have lower credit scores, you pay for more for everything, mm-hmm. not just for a house, mm-hmm. you know? And so a lot of times I remember, because for me, it wasn't that I had like horrible bad habits. I just had like two credit cards that I thought in college, they just give it to you. And I thought, I didn't know I had to pay it back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was just like, what?
It's free.
And it ruined my credit, you know?
It's free money.
So it took some time to get together. So a lot of times when people have bad credit, it's almost like they look at it like out of sight, out of mind, mm-hmm. until they need to deal with it. You need to deal with it. Like, just because you're not paying attention to it doesn't mean it's not a problem. So it's really just confronting it and pulling your credit score. If you go to annualcreditreport.com, every year you get a free credit score, and you can pull that report and just have a date with yourself and be honest and pull that report. And then, okay, what do I need to do to move forward? And a lot of times people sign up for like credit repair programs. A lot of times they're just scams.
They are. We got scammed.
Yeah. So don't do that.
$800.
Yeah. Don't do that.
And so, cause you don't need them. The internet has enough tools to teach you how to handle your credit, how to, you know, what's it when you remove certain things off of it,
or
like even just knowing your credit to debt ratio is a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like keeping that thing under 30%.
Yes,
you
have your bills on time and paying the credit cards off, and like you said, and establishing new credit really is the best way you can build credit, by establishing new positive credit.
So, with the Perrys is going on tour.
Straight is.
Don't know if you knew that already.
Yeah.
I think we're doing 14 cities.
Oh, yeah. You wanted me to say something. We're doing 14 cities.
And he's going to talk about apologetics.
And what you going to talk about?
I'm going to preach some Bible. And then we're going to have a live conversation with the saints about something that you pick. We're going to give y'all the opportunity to pick the conversation that we actually end up having.
And it's going to be God glorifying. It's going to be uplifting to the body of Christ. But mm-hmm. we're going to have fun.
I think so.
We're going to have a lot of fun. A lot of y'all have been trying to get the Bold Apparel merch, and I'm bringing all the merch on tour.
Oh,
like,
yay.
Like all of it.
Beautiful.
You know, and we're also coming on tour with our books, with my new book, all of Jackie 1900 books.
It's only four.
It's a lot. And so, man, be on the lookout, man.
All right. So show notes, www.withtheperrys.com/tour. Okay. So probably as we mentioned at the top of this, we have a rental property, which mm-hmm. was something that I think we purchased that house in 2020.
Last year.
Yeah. June 2020. When I was pregnant with
Sage.
August. No, Sage was a baby.
August.
And
one of them.
So many kids.
It's a lot. The reason we did it, which I think I'm sure I've talked to you before, is that like a lot of our income comes from ministry. So whether mm-hmm. that's books or events or all the things. And I started to kind of like dialogue with God about how I wanted to I didn't want all of my income to be contingent on ministry. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, I think it's a conscience thing for me where it's like, I wanted to have a purer yes. Mm-hmm. So like, so my yes is because it's a yes, not because I need my rent paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And so I naturally just was like, we need to like invest in something.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so being connected with you and just all, and you, like, we was like, let's figure out a way to buy mm-hmm. a home. And the area that we bought the home in and all the things, mm-hmm. even though the Airbnb did not work, mm-hmm. it's still working. Because
yes,
we know pivoting. Like in some years mm-hmm. like the house is going to be worth some things,
right.
Right.
And so I guess for people who already own a home, what would be the benefit or the value of purchasing real estate properties?
Oh man, that's great. The value, especially if you purchased your home in the last 2 years or beyond, mm-hmm. then there's a good chance because of the large amount of appreciation or the large amount of like ways that the home prices have increased, mm-hmm. You have a lot of equity in your home that you could actually use.
What's equity?
Equity is the amount of money that your home is worth versus how much you owe. So say your home is worth $400,000. And it's worth based on what the other homes around you have sold for, and you actually owe the bank $200, then that means that the difference between $400 and $200 is
equity. There we go.
So there are different ways.
That was
ways.
A really great way that I've never heard equity like broken down.
Yeah,
that.
Very simple.
Very simple.
Mm-hmm.
You're a teacher too. Look at that.
And so I can teach you how to very conservatively, safely, use some of that $200,000 to then and choose a market that you would like to invest in and take a small portion of that money to.
And by market, you mean neighborhoods.
Yes. Neighborhoods, cities, mm-hmm. et cetera.
Yeah.
Thank you. And take a small portion of that money to put as a down payment on an investment property that, depending on your goals, can provide you more cash flow or a longer appreciation over time, like you guys are going to be able to do.
And you That's know what's, what gets in the way of people, one, seeing wisdom in that and putting the time in it, is two things, is discipline and patience.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want quick money. Mm. We want quick return. Mm. You know, it's like weight loss. We want to take the doo-doo pills because we want a flat stomach, and because we never developed the patience and the discipline to actually have just a good nutritional diet.
Right.
As soon as we stop doo-dooing, now we get big again because we never worked exactly. that muscle.
Right.
And so that's a terrible example, but I think it's
no, yeah, yeah.
Talk about doo-doo.
Yes.
Like real estate is building wealth and income that takes a long time.
And I just love the options that it creates for you.
Talk about that.
Right? Because mm-hmm. you know, as you get older and you don't want to do rental properties no more, you don't want to do Airbnbs no more, if your son or daughter gets out of college and they have a little cash and they would need a place to stay or whatever, like you have the options to do so much
yeah.
when you have equity in multiple places.
Yeah, so that's actually how we plan to pay for our son's college. So one of our first investment properties, like I'm fine with sharing numbers, I'm like really open, but one of our first investment properties we purchased for $60,000, and it's a property in now it wasn't like popular then, but I knew that the future development was coming
mm-hmm.
On the Beltline. And so now, you know, the property is worth, even today, it's worth like $400,000, right? And so our son's getting ready to go to school, so he gets ready to go to college. If he needs assistance, say he doesn't get a scholarship or whatever, he needs assistance, I can basically go to that property and either refinance it or get a line of credit off of that property and pay for his school with that equity. And the beautiful thing about it is I'm getting rent every month from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So I can redo that over and over again if I want to. So someone else is paying the mortgage, I'm able to cover the expenses, and then that money is going to continue to grow. The equity is going to continue to grow as well as I'm getting a check every month, right? And then when my son gets ready to go to college, I can pay his tuition from that property and do it all over and over again.
Wow. Like,
over and over again. Yeah. And so it's like a just a cycle that you could take advantage of and be able to pass that on to my kids, yeah, so that they can have those options too.
You're like a walking Monopoly game.
Yeah, it really is.
Do not really pass like go that. Collect $200.
But she making them brown properties and them orange properties work for that. Absolutely. They eventually become Boardwalk.
That's a word. That's, you know what I'm saying? A word.
But the wild thing is, the first time I heard about that concept is when we lived in Chicago. Yeah. And our accountant, this guy named Ged, he owned these apartment building, mm-hmm, or an apartment building that had like maybe, I don't know, 15 to 20 doors.
And Lincoln Park, and Lincoln Park wasn't that special when
he bought it, was it when it was the hood, mm-hmm, and he just, it was so simple. He was like, because he was probably in his 70s, he was like, yeah, I bought it in like 1987, and he said all of the rent that the tenants would pay me, I used it to pay off the mortgage. He was like, mm-hmm, I never took a dime, mm-hmm, from what the tenants would give me. And he was like, now I'm 70 and I can just hang out with my wife and go on ski trips all the time.
Yeah,
because that entire building is paid off. And so now everything that the tenants give me, just, you know,
but that's rest. But
and I was like, yeah, yikes, that's, yeah, smart.
But not only is he resting, but not only that, one of the main things that he said he does, for, like, low key for charity,
skiing.
Not skiing. He was helping believers do their taxes.
Oh,
yeah, like that's, I love that. That's he, the and way. He didn't have that's to charge the, them.
Yeah, that, we didn't wow, pay for it.
Yeah, and so that's the way he wanted to serve, yeah, the Christian community. He was like, I don't really need y'all money,
right?
And so he was a low key millionaire at our church. Right. Nobody knew he was a millionaire, and if you had to ask him, because he,
mm-hmm, no,
I mean he was wearing, yeah, Skechers and like.
That's how they be.
That's, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah,
you know what,
absolutely,
I mean? But like, he was like, I want to serve the body of Christ by teaching, right, them financial literacy and helping them with their taxes. And so, yeah, he was a blessing to us.
I just, yeah, was impressed because, like, the way I grew up, it's like, if the tenants are paying you, that's your money and, mm-hmm, you need to spend it on yourself.
Right.
And so the fact that, like, he had to wait till the 2000s to actually be able to see the profit, mm-hmm, but like now until he dies, right, and whoever he gives that building to, it's theirs.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that's major.
And he's paid it off. And, yeah, so Lincoln Park is one of the most,
it's very
wealthiest neighborhoods, wow, in Chicago, and, yeah, it's multiple units, and he owns the building with, yeah, no mortgage.
Yeah.
And it's just all profit.
Yeah. I love it. And there's, and you definitely, it's definitely a long game. And then the beautiful thing is that you do have small kind of nuggets that you can take advantage of now, even though like the greater reward will be later. So like I take off the month of December, mm-hmm, and so I taken off work, not working. I remember last year I took off and my son was just like, you're not working, so how are we gonna make money? And I showed him my email and I was, mm-hmm, like, deposit, 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 mm-hmm, deposit. Mm-hmm. And so this is the value of real estate, is that I can take off the month and, you know, be with my family and not have to worry about work, yeah, and things are taken care of. And you are providing housing for people.
Yeah.
Providing housing is so important. It's like one of the most important things in our life, you know, where we lay our head at night, you know, mm-hmm, it can really change someone's life. So I think it's a great thing to do.
I do want you to shout out what you do online, like what your class, mm-hmm, is and stuff like that, and tell people your Instagram and tell people how, mm-hmm, they can stay connected to you, because I do think that a lot of times we don't look at the work that you're doing as ministry, mm-hmm, but like, man, like, mm-hmm, what if God is using, I don't think, what if God is using people like you to help believers be freed up to do more ministry, because, right, they're more financially free to do so. And so, right, talk about your cohorts and talk about why you started them, and then talk about how people can get connected to,
yeah,
your,
yeah,
online.
Absolutely. It was really interesting because I was working with, so you know, I'm a licensed agent here in Atlanta, and so I have been investing on my own, and a part of, or my family, we've been investing. And so a part of the process of being an agent and us, you know, picking up properties over time, is we would use the income that I made as an agent to then reinvest in real estate. And so I had friends just being like, oh, wow, how do you do that? How do you do that? So I started helping friends over time. And then I had a lot of friends come to me like one time and they were like, hey, can you teach us? And just because of all the things I mentioned that I do, there's like no way that I can teach everybody individually. Right. So then that's when a good friend of mine came up and said, you should do like a cohort or some type of like group program where you can teach people all in one time. So the cohort was birthed out of really wanting to help people in an efficient way. And so what it is it's a 12-week program where I walk people through in a group I've developed a curriculum that teaches them how to invest in various ways, and even it goes all the way to property management. Also, we have one-on-one time so that I can help them develop a specific strategy based on their personal situation. Now, the beautiful thing about the cohort that's even more amazing than what I just mentioned that I had no idea was going to be a factor was the community aspect. I mean, it's interesting because we have like this, we have this group of like-minded people, lots of believers, lots of like first gen immigrants, lots of just purpose-driven people who are like, I know that there's something more. I know that there's a better way to help my community. Come in one place, and the building of community that has taken place has been something that I did not, anticipate. A lot of people don't have other people in their life that they can have these conversations with. I think we're special where our group, like, we have these conversations all the time, but most people don't. Most people, they're the only ones in their group talking about these things. So the cohort has provided a place for people to find other like-minded people. Who aren't greedy, who are, about things that are bigger than themselves, come together and learn. And so it's really been we have our first in-person retreat tomorrow. So I have people flying all over.
Busy bee.
So we have people flying all over that I'm going to meet in person for the first time tomorrow.
So for the person listening, how can they get connected to
I would say to follow me on Instagram first is Erica B E-R-I-K-A B Investor. And then if you go to my link tree, you can go to my website, you can join my waiting list for my cohort. All my links are there.
So waiting
shoot
list.
Me a DM. Yeah, there's a waiting list. I only launch 4 times a year.
Okay.
Well, so holler at me. I help you.
Well, thank you, Erica Brown, for joining us.
And I want to just quickly add, I know it's a lot of Christians who listen to our podcast, and I think the topic of money, we talked about it, but the topic of money can get funny. And I just want us to know that money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Yes. And so I think that if you love money more than you love God and people, I think that's something that you have to take to the Lord, to allow the Lord to deal with something in your heart. But at the end of the day, I think that God isn't calling us all to be rich, but he is calling us all to be wise stewards. And how can we steward our money and our possessions in a way that glorifies him? And so some of us, God is calling us to be more wealthy than others, but it's all for the glorification of him. And so we wanted to have Erica on because I feel she does that well. She does that well. And so, just wanted to just
read Ecclesiastes and you'll be
good.
All right, y'all, bye.
Peace.
30 Minutes with the Perrys is a production of Ivy Media Podcast, edited by Angie Elkins, video recording and audio production by Kim Powell, artwork by Hop and music by Swoop. Join us on Patreon for early access to With the Perrys episodes and other exclusives. You got two options. You can go to www.patreon.com/withtheperrys, or just go ahead, scroll. You'll find the link in our show notes. We are the Perrys. Thank y'all for listening. Now go with God.